540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Matt Piper. Wendy's, Chick-fil-A, McDonald's, workers at those fast food chains and all others will now be making more an hour if they're in California, as KNX's Craig Figner reports from Los Angeles.
$20 an hour, that will be the minimum wage for hundreds of thousands of fast food workers across California. Starting April of next year, Governor Gavin Newsom signed the bill into law at SEIU headquarters here in downtown Los Angeles.
557,000 people at 30,000 locations. This is a big deal. $20 an hour. 80% of the workforce, 80% are people of color. Two-thirds are women. The majority are breadwinners.
And Governor Newsom downplayed criticism that this will lead to higher prices for consumers.
Despite the federal government facing a looming government shutdown this weekend, the House of Representatives today focused on the first impeachment inquiry of President Biden. Our Nicole Killians on Capitol Hill.
The Committee on Oversight and Accountability will come to order.
After months of investigation, House Republicans began their first impeachment proceeding seeking to tie President Biden to his son Hunter and his family's business dealings.
What were the Bidens selling to make all this money? Joe Biden himself. Joe Biden is the brand.
Hunter Biden cashed in by arranging access to Joe Biden.
The White House has denied any wrongdoing, and minutes into the hearing, the panel's own GOP witnesses knocked some of the allegations down.
I do not believe that the current evidence would support articles of impeachment.
That was constitutional law expert Jonathan Turley there. Police in New York City make another big opioids bust. Officials say more than 40 pounds of fentanyl was discovered in the Bronx, about six blocks from that daycare where a one-year-old boy died from fentanyl exposure. DEA special agent in charge, Frank Tarantino.
We observed this suspect go on and off the New York City subway system with a rollaway suitcase that was discovered to contain up to 13 kilograms of fentanyl powder.
Days after she was found dead in her Baltimore home, an arrest is made in the death of someone who was named Forbes 30 Under 30 list for social impact this year. CBS's Nicole Skanga is covering.
This city is really shattered. I've spoken with friends and neighbors of Pavel LaPere, all who say nothing, not even this, can bring her back, calling her a rock star, a mentor, a business leader, a tech giant, just very tearful about the loss of this 26-year-old young tech entrepreneur.
A second powerful storm in less than a month has hammered parts of central Greece, sweeping away roads. Bad weather earlier this month struck the same area, killing 16 people and causing $2 billion in damage. This is CBS News.
If you need to hire, you need Indeed, because Indeed's all-in-one hiring solution helps you attract, interview, and hire candidates all from one place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
Civic Media radio stations providing your news, conversations, and fun you won't find anywhere else.
With news on WAUK The Shaw, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. Waukesha County Executive Paul Farrow has revealed the 2024 budget for the county.
The budget totals over $391 million with a $114 million tax levy. If approved, it would lead to a 9.1% reduction in the tax rate, marking the lowest in 30 years. Farrow emphasized the budget's focus on law enforcement funding, including increased allocations to the Sheriff's Department, County Dispatch, and the Medical Examiner's Office. Pete Schwabe, Civic Media News.
A 16-year-old has been arrested by Milwaukee police in connection with a shooting that occurred during the Milwaukee Lutheran High School homecoming game. Details about the identity of the teenager and their relationship to the school remain unknown. The incident took place during the fourth quarter of the football game, and it caused panic both among players and spectators. No injuries were reported. With news on WAUK The Shaw, I'm Stuart J. Waddles.
Hey, this is Matt from Design Garden. Remember when the internet was new? Back then you had to leave your house to start a business. Companies used to pay programmers bags of cash to get online. Now, small businesses can get online with a Facebook business page, or Squarespace, or Google My Business, or WordPress. But which tools should you use? Can you afford to go down the wrong path? Design Garden uses modern tools to build your website the right way. Find us online at design.garden. Again, that's design.garden.
The simple click of a seatbelt can mean the difference between life and death. But don't just take it from me.
As a nurse for the last 34 years, I've seen way too many people seriously hurt in crashes because they weren't wearing a seatbelt. Please protect yourself. Spare your family and emergency responders from needless trauma. Buckle up. Every seat, every trip, every time.
A life-saving message, sponsored by the U.S. and Wisconsin DOTs.
The Cripes Cast with Charlie Behrens.
Today, I am talking to the owner of Funky Fresh Spring Rolls, my friend, Truman McGee.
From an environmentally friendly perspective, the fact that it's frozen means that it's not going to waste.
I'm a cereal strawberry abuser. If you're a fruit and you're watching this, stay away from me, okay? Do not jump in my shopping cart, because I will let you die.
Cripes Cast. Every Saturday and Sunday at noon across Civic Media and on the Civic Media app.
The Careers Tab.
Are you tired of CEOs telling you what to think, who to hate, and who to vote for? Well, welcome to the Rick Smith Show. We don't take orders from some boardroom, and we don't do focus groups or talking points. We don't work for them, and we never will. I'm Rick Smith, and I work for you. Join us daily at thericksmithshow.com and download the podcast and never miss a minute.
It's time for the Rick Smith Show. Here is the voice of the working class, Rick Smith.
And welcome, brothers, sisters, working class heroes. This is the Rick Smith Show. Thanks so much for being here today on the big program. Lots to get to, lots to talk about. What a ridiculous day. I mean, what a crazy day. What a ridiculously crazy kind of day. Look, Republicans have turned government into reality TV. Real nitwits of DC. Call it whatever you want. Wow. What a giant S show. And look, what they've learned from reality TV on TV is that the most ridiculous, the most outrageous characters, they're the ones who get the attention. So, surprise, we've got a bunch of children running amok, a bunch of reality TV show wannabes. And what we've got is the reality that this show is House Republicans proving that they can't work with anyone. They can't get along with anyone, especially themselves. It's really quite remarkable. Now, look, we're speeding towards a government shutdown. They're already beginning the roll down, the wind down. They're already letting people know, hey, well, it's evidently going to happen. Looks like the nitwits are going to pull the trigger. And what did we get? What kind of a reality TV show are we getting? We got the impeachment thing. Oh, that's going on. You had the debates. You had Trump in Michigan. This is probably my favorite bit of Republican reality TV, because it's all staged. It's all scripted. None of it's actually real. But our fraudster in chief. But here's the weird thing. This is a guy who's on trial for fraud, doing more fraud. And look, you really have to be a special kind of stupid to think Trump was in Michigan to support striking workers. I mean, you really have to be touched. I mean, there's something there that you're just, wow. Now, you know, look, this is the beginning of more divide and conquer. We see this coming because Trump chose, Trump land. He went to MAGA country, found a non-union employer to bring him in and give him the run of the place. And they brought in actors to hold signs, you know, like UAW member and auto worker and striking UAW. They had all the signs. Problem is, it was all a fraud. In fact, you know, I was looking at the pictures, and I'm looking at some of these women literally in pearls. And you go, you an auto worker? No,
No. Those hands have never seen work. And this is the weird thing. They tried to pull it off. And to the credit of the people who were holding the signs, when asked, they didn't lie. They said, no, I'm just paid here to stand and hold the sign. And this is what you get. This is what you get when, as I said yesterday, these people are different kind of liars. These are different spinsters. These aren't your Republican Party grandpa's liars. These are people who are just going to make stuff up out of absolute thin air. And today was an interesting, bit of political theater with the impeachment inquiry. Now, what I found interesting, parsing words, Jonathan Turley, the Fox News commentator and right-wing George Washington University law professor. I found his wording in his opening statement interesting. He said, this is a question of an impeachment inquiry. It is not a vote on articles of impeachment. Splitting kind of hairs. No, we're just looking for stuff. He said, in fact, I do not believe that the current evidence would support articles of impeachment. That is something that inquiry has to establish. So he's saying right from the beginning, there's nothing here. We're on a fishing expedition. We're going on a deep dive, wishing and hoping. Bruce Dubunsky, who also testified, a forensic accountant, said, I'm not here today to even suggest that there was corruption, fraud, or any wrongdoing. This is their forensic accountant. This is the guy they brought in to go, smoking gun, stuff. There's something. He said, in my opinion, more information needs to be gathered and assessed before I would make such an assessment. What? Now, remember, the Republicans have been telling us for months. They've got it all. They've got bank records. They've got text messages. They've got addresses. They got Joe Biden's address. They got it all. It's all there. All it is just all there. Except there is no there. And I think AOC, hit it best. She went through and asked, do you have any of you witnesses here have any evidence? And this is the weird thing, folks. This is what I've been saying for years now, especially around January 6th and all of the voter fraud claims that were made at the Four Seasons Landscaping parking lot. And it's what they say under oath. These people came into an impeachment inquiry, raised their hands, swore to tell the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth. So help them law. God, that's something else. I'm sure these people would lie on their God. But the law that would hold them legally responsible, especially Jonathan Turley, under punishment of imprisonment, they came in and told the truth. And I still have some faith in our system that, while they're parsing hairs here, because they need this political theater. A political theater, mind you. That nobody watched. It was so bad, Fox News and Newsmax turned away and went back to their regularly scheduled programming. It was that bad. It was that bad that Fox and Newsmax and nothing here. Let's go. We're doing much more damage talking about, Joe Biden's dog. Yeah, they did that. But here's the thing. I mean, we're steaming towards a shutdown. And this is what they've brought us. Now, in the Democrats' defense, they came out and they came out swinging. There are a lot of really, really good moments where Democrats, made the points that needed to be made. For instance, this is one of those things that makes you go, remember, Republicans are supposed to be the party of the rule of law, right? Or so they tell us. Representative Cesar, his name is. George Cesar from Texas. He simply said, hey, how many people here would, would raise their hand to indict and hold Hunter Biden accountable if he was found guilty. And anyway, everyone was on that. And he said, will the members of the Oversight Committee raise their hands if you believe both Hunter and Trump should be held accountable for any indictments if convicted? Now, that's very clear. I got to tell you, I don't know how you don't raise your hand for that. Every Democrat raised their hand. You know the answer to this. Not a single Republican raised their hand. Not one. And you go, not one of you that bothered to show up, and half of them didn't. But not one of you that bothered to show up would raise your hand and say, yeah, I want him held responsible. I want him held accountable. I believe in the rule of law. I believe in our country. And the answer is quite clear. No, they don't. Now, of course, you know what this is. This is an attack on Joe Biden where there's no smoke here. There's nothing here. If anything, Biden's guilty of being a good father and the kind of father that every man should aspire to be. But what this is, and I said this from the beginning, you go back to every administration. They've always had, I go back to, the Clintons, Roger Clinton. You go back to Billy Carter with his Billy beer. There have always been people who have cashed in on the name. It's always happened. And I've always said it's not right, but it is what it is. And it's nonpartisan. It's when people get into positions of power, the people around them, they're going to cash in. And this is where James Comer, the guy from Kentucky, the representative, is saying, look, we're going to subpoena Hunter Biden and James Biden. We're going after all the Bidens except Joe. Because what they're hoping to do, now understand this, as you hear more and more happening, they're going to try and conflate what happens with Biden's brother, with his son, with the janitor, with the person who cuts his grass. Yeah, they're gonna pull out anything they can to try and tie him into it. But they have nothing. And it showed today, they have nothing. And the weird thing is even they know they have nothing. I mean, that's the thing as one senior Republican said to CNN, picking witnesses that refute House Republican arguments for impeachment is mind-blowing. This is an unmitigated disaster. And you knew it was going to be that from the beginning, because this isn't about impeaching Biden. It's really not, because they don't have it. They may get to that. They may, just because, hey, we can. It's going to go nowhere, but it's about the political theater. It's about keeping our mind on this while they shut the government down and can't figure out how to do their job. It really is bread and circus. And the circus, not even interesting to Fox News. How bad is that? Want to hear your thoughts? Email me, rick@thericksmithshow.com. Quick break, right back after this. Stick around.
We are AFGE, the American Federation of Government Employees. We represent 700,000 federal and D.C. government workers who are the vital threads of the fabric of American life. We support our nation's military. We take care of our nation's veterans. We protect our nation's borders. We respond to our nation's crises and natural disasters. We provide services to our nation's seniors, the American Federation of Government Employees. We work for America.
The phone lines are open. Give Rick a call at 1-866-416-RICK. That's 1-866-416-7425.
We are AFGE, the American Federation of Government Employees. We represent 700,000 federal and D.C. government workers who are the vital threads of the fabric of American life. We support our nation's military. We take care of our nation's veterans. We protect our nation's borders. We respond to our nation's crises and natural disasters. We provide services to our nation's seniors. The American Federation of Government Employees. We work for America.
Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So, did anybody watch the Republican debate? I mean, I didn't. I didn't pay any attention to it whatsoever. I know they were at the Reagan Library. I know it's in Simi Valley. I know the best clips that came out were actually Gavin Newsom, the Democratic governor of California, which I thought was hysterical. And look, I wish more Democrats sounded like Gavin Newsom. But interestingly enough, the Daily Mail did a snap poll, and the winner of the debate that nobody watched was Donald Trump, who didn't show up. So, yeah, he won by not even participating. That's brilliant. Now, Trump is saying what I think everybody else is thinking, that probably the RNC should stop the debates because nobody's paying them any attention whatsoever. And the thing is, it's just making them look bad because they're not saying what they need to say, which is Trump's the bad guy. Trump's the guy who's got to go. They're all trying to be, well, you know, on Trump's team, sort of, except for Christie. But it's not happening. It's not helping. I did like the fact that Dana Cappuccino Perino did want someone to vote someone off the island. Yeah, they've gone full jump the shark reality TV show with this stuff. It's that kind of crazy. And the thing is, none of the candidates bit, which was even funnier. But you know, here we are in this weird moment, and I think the whole Republican primary can be summed up really simply. And I thank Vivek Ramaswamy for this, because Ramaswamy has said he wants to end birthright citizenship. Does anybody want to tell him? Because Vivek. And he even says that his parents were immigrants. He was born here. Does anybody want to tell him that he is a citizen because of birthright citizenship? Does anybody want to tell him? Does this mean if he gets his wish and we end birthright citizenship, does he lose his citizenship? Does he then have to go back? Do we pack up him and go? Wow. And there's the other thing. Then he's not eligible to run because no birthright citizenship. But that kind of just wraps up really the entire Republican Party. And understand, this is their solution to everything. I've got mine. We climbed up the ladder and now we're going to kick it off. Going to kick it off the side of the wall. Because again, when you build walls, what you get are ladders or tunnels. Pretty simple. Or people flying over them. Crazy. Let's go to the phones. Got Alice on one. Alice, how are you?
Tired. How about you?
Angry, frustrated, amused. Lots of things. Today was a crazy, crazy day.
It is. And I did not watch the Republican nut job show last night. You know, it's... They were crazy to begin with. And then when Trump... if you recall, got elected and took the oath of office, and the next thing you know, remember, was his ex-wife, wife number one, was claiming that she should be first lady because she was the first wife and, you know, and all that stuff. And I'm thinking, this is like a Jerry Springer show. And that's what the Republicans are doing. It's Jerry Springer stuff. But they're ignorant. Last night, I went to a workshop for our little hamlet for these new nut job ordinances, and I was trying to be nice, which I did manage to be nice. I ended up leaving early because the other Democrat in the our little hamlet went off on them and told them, "You people are ignorant. Do you not know how to read? Are you just stupid?" I mean, he really was, and I thought, I'm just getting out of here because I know me, and I'm going to join in probably in about 5 minutes and start telling them how ignorant they are. But, I mean, they didn't know, like, pollen? I'm like, all plants produce pollen. So you can't say pollen-producing plants because, I mean, my God, it was like, And he actually said to the one, he said, did you not go to school? So they don't know anything. Yeah. Just like, you know, they don't know it. I don't even think they read the Constitution.
I don't think they care. I think the part is they don't care. They have their ideology, they have their beliefs, and everything else be damned. And that seems to play from top to bottom, from, you know, all the way up to the highest office down to your little hamlet. So am I surprised? No, not a bit.
Me neither, Rick, but have a good evening.
Thanks so much, Alice. Appreciate it. No, I mean, this is one of these things where you just go, you watch these, because I've been watching some of the clips today and some of the comments about, you know, what came out of the debate. And these folks have no ideas on how to run this country. And look at the fact that they chose to have a reality kind of TV show on an impeachment inquiry that they have nothing. There's literally nothing. Instead of actually doing their job of keeping our government open. And look, the suffering, the pain, the struggle, the costs are all going to be real. All of this sham stuff, you know, it's all just to get attention for them so that they can be on the podcast circuit or on the F channel or any of the other ones. And they've all got to out crazy the next one. DeSantis said he's going to sign a national abortion ban. Good luck on that. You do realize you got to pass legislation for something like that. But no. We're going to executive order. Ain't going to carry weight. And the reality is that debate didn't move anything in the polls because nobody paid attention to it. Trump is their albatross. And what we saw out of Trump in the... I did watch his speech. And, you know, President Biden is spot on correct. Democracy is under assault. We are in this is one of those moments where, you know, I listened to President Biden talk about our democracy being under attack, about, you know, him, you know, Trump inciting violence, seeking unfettered power, you know, plotting, you know, to go after and execute generals. And, you know, completely, you know, trash the Constitution, you know, because he will then be king. And all of the retribution that Trump has already talked about doing. You know, this reminds me of when Hillary Clinton was, you know, back in 16 saying, you know, all this stuff is going to happen. You know, this is who Trump is. And she was right. You know, there's every step of the way. You know, there's no glory. There's no satisfaction in her being right. But she was. And we just don't seem to pay attention to that. But I'm listening to Biden, and I don't want us to look back and go, you know, he was right. But we were too hung up on, he's wearing tennis shoes on the picket line. Because they don't want him to fall. You know what? Trump's people don't want him to fall either. And I don't know if you've watched Trump's speech. Wow. The guy's a blithering idiot. He's got talking points, and they're all, you know, just, like I said yesterday, this current crop of Republicans, the MAGA folks, the, you know, current conservatives, they lie differently. They just make stuff up, whatever comes out of their mouth. This is where they go. And it's sad and it's dangerous. Now, I did find it interesting. The funny part that is coming out of the debate is Nikki Haley. And I got to tell you, there's part of me that feels for Nikki Haley. I don't like her, not even a little bit. But she's probably one of the smartest people on that stage. And I got to question how smart she is for even being on that stage. But after hearing Ramaswamy ramble on, she did the Billy Madison thing. She said, honestly, every time I hear you, I feel a little bit dumber for what you say. And she kind of, you know, there were moments where she kind of looked like a frustrated mother in the cereal aisle, you know, whose kids are, you know, just running all over the place and she can't control them. And she's totally exasperated, just losing her mind. Yeah, I, 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 I saw that. And do I feel for her? No. She's deserving everything she gets. But I do find it interesting. Now, here's the thing. The moneyed interests, the big money donors, evidently next month there's going to be a huge fundraiser for Glenn Youngkin. So get ready for Youngkin to possibly come in into all of this. And what about all these people who've been on the debate stage all along? What about all these people who have been buying votes? Amazing. Quick break, right back.
I'm Rick Smith, and this is Labor History in Two.
On this day in labor history, the year was 1965. That was the day the Delano grape strike began in California. The strike came a year after activists had forced Congress to end the Bracero contract labor program. The Filipino Agricultural Workers Organizing Committee, led by Larry Itilong, Philip Vera Cruz, and others, called the strike against the Delano growers and the Coachella Valley grape growers. It had been a record harvest. Farm workers demanded higher wages, humane working conditions, and union recognition. When the growers refused, thousands walked out of the fields. A week later, the Mexican-American National Farm Workers Association, led by Cesar Chavez and Dolores Huerta, joined the strike. It was a historic moment. Within a year, the two unions would merge to form the United Farm Workers. The union sent strikers to the Oakland docks to persuade the longshoremen not to load non-union grapes. Many of the Filipino workers in the San Joaquin Valley worked in the Alaska fish canneries organized by the ILWU in the off-season. And so the ILWU honored their union brothers' request. Thousands of cases of grapes were left to rot on the docks. This initial victory led Chavez to organize a grape boycott against heavyweights DiGiorgio and Shenley Industries. 6 months into the strike, union leaders marched 300 miles from Delano to Sacramento to bring attention to their struggle. They hoped to pressure growers to the negotiating table and legislators to act on their behalf. For 5 years, the strike and boycott continued with marches, organizing, and picket line arrests. Gradually, the UFW began winning higher wages, union recognition, and hiring halls. Finally, in 1970, a collective bargaining agreement covering 10,000 workers was reached.
Like what you hear? Check out more at laborhistoryin2.com.
When megalomaniac multi-billionaire barons of industry suddenly announce that they are boundless geniuses who must remake society, government, and nature, perk up and pay attention. Their grand schemes of social engineering almost always go badly for us non-billionaires. Having spent their careers in the top-down, self-aggrandizing, exploitative corporate culture, they invariably turn to techno-solutions and AI computer models, ignoring such bothersome factors as human dynamics. So look out, for here comes a gaggle of high-tech billionaires from Silicon Valley planning to fix America's cities by building an urban utopia from scratch. They've chosen Solano County, northeast of San Francisco, for their startup city, promoting it as a hybrid of technotopia and European urbanity, free from the gritty realities of, you know, real cities. Their plan, however, did not include informing the people currently living there about their scheme. Instead, they dispatched secret armies of lawyers and developers to snap up the area's rich farmland, preparing to surprise the locals by converting their land, community, and culture into the gabillionaires' experiment in new urbanism. One of the moneyed schemers declared that, quote, "The idea is simple. Found new cities, free from old bureaucratic and legal structures, and explore bold new visions of how government should work." But that's not simple. It's simplistic. Also, wholly anti-democratic and un-American. But it's in keeping with the egomaniacal ejaculations of other self-indulgent richies who want to build cities that float on oceans, that orbit in space, or that are built on Mars. This is Jim Hightower saying, let's send all of them there now. Meanwhile, what if more of our billionaires invested their money in funding real solutions to real problems in the real cities America already has?
Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So I got to tell you, one of my favorite tweets of the day. The House Republicans at House GOP tweeted out, Hunter Biden's laptop is real. What the heck is that? What kind of... it's real. It's one of those things like they're trying to convince themselves, I think, maybe. Or I don't actually know. I just saw it and I'm going, and? What? It's real. Trust us. No. Anyway, here to share some thoughts on the fun, ridiculous, idiotic reality show day that we've had today. I've asked our good friend Sarah Burris to come back. She's a reporter over at Raw Story, rawstory.com, the website where you can check out her work. Sarah, thanks for taking time for us.
Hey, good to be here.
So what do you make of Hunter Biden's laptop? It's real, Sarah. It's real.
You know, I watched that entire committee hearing, and the one thing that I couldn't help but notice is it seems a lot like the Republicans are sort of talking as if everybody in the world watches Fox News. Everybody in the world knows all of the conspiracy theories, and they're in on all of the QAnon stuff. And so for those of us who don't know and who aren't engrossed in that community, it just seemed very confusing. Like, none of it really made sense today. None of it was organized. And you had Democrats really on message kind of just saying, this is stupid. The government's about to shut down. This is stupid. The government's about to shut down, over and over and over again.
And that is the message. This is stupid.
Yeah.
The government's about to shut down.
Yeah. And that was the most interesting thing is, so we talked to a couple of Republicans who were on the committee outside the committee room and just kind of said, you know, how do you feel like things are going? And they're like, well, and it became very clear that they just sort of automatically admit that this is not a legitimate impeachment. They're saying that this is, well, it's just the preliminary stages. We're just trying to make the argument.
Yeah, right. Internally let that out of the bag right in his opening statement, going, look, this is an impeachment. There's no evidence for that. So basically admitting this is just a fishing expedition. They're hoping they might uncover something. They don't know. They're just digging and digging and digging, and they're going to try and impeach his reputation, not him as a president.
And how is that any different from what we have seen in the Judiciary Committee and the Oversight Committee for the last 8-9 months? Because it seems exactly the same to me. Yeah. The inquiry is the same as the hearings. The difference is that today the Republicans brought in their own witnesses who were like, yeah, you guys don't have it. It's like, thanks. Thanks. Really helpful. Really appreciate that one.
Yeah, why would you do that? Why would you bring people in? And look, as I said a moment ago, the reality is this is the difference between going on Fox News and Newsmax and, you know, right-wing talk radio and putting your hand up and swearing to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help me under law. You know, the God thing, okay, you know, sure, maybe they could care about that. But it's the law thing they really care about because they don't want to go to jail, so they're going to tell the truth. And the truth is, there's nothing here.
Well, and that's the thing, too, is that you have these people who, you know, John Turley, who appears on Fox all the time. So I think they automatically assumed, oh, he's one of the one of us. He's one of the QAnon people. Right. And yet when they ask him, you know, does this reach the requirements for impeachment? And he's like, no. And it's just like, well, I mean, you kind of, it's kind of like the rule for court lawyers is they say never ask a witness to testify unless you know what they're going to say.
Yep.
That's pretty much what happened today is these folks had no clue what any of these people were going to say. They assumed they did. And they thought that they were going into this and it would just be this beautiful Fox News, nicely packaged show. And it was just a catastrophe.
Yeah, so badly that Fox and Newsmax turned away and went back to their regularly scheduled programming.
That was the best part. I mean, they really gave it a good go for most of the day. I think like whenever I turned over to see what was on when they were doing the Biden speech, all of the networks were doing the Biden speech except for Fox. They were showing the committee hearing. And so it's like, okay, well, They're not going to show Biden, but they will show the train wreck. So there you go.
No, and look, I hope that all of the, you know, the MAGA hats, I hope all the red hats saw the nothing that was there, the embarrassment that was this hearing, because it really was embarrassing. There was literally nothing other than innuendo and unsubstantiated allegations.
Or it's lies, true. It like seems like one of the, yeah, I mean, that's the thing is I really wish we could get to a point where we just call people lying liars who lie and stop sort of, you know, shuffling around it. But today, basically, the Republicans were like, well, you know, guys, there was this dude who, you know, had a friend who was in the Chinese Communist Party, and he had a sister who went out with Biden 75 years ago. And then they had a, you know, she had a daughter from another marriage who served him a soda once at a diner. And it's just like, what? Like, really? And I do this every day, right? Like, I read this stuff all the time. And I was like, wait, what? Where are you going?
Nowhere.
And so I think that's one of the reasons that Republicans were just like, yeah, no, we screwed up. This is a complete catastrophe. And most of them admitted it. And the leadership is furious. And meanwhile, we talked to one of the Democrats, Representative Stevens from Michigan. We're like, hey, you know, did you watch the hearing? What happened today? And she was like, you guys, I was just trying to avoid the shutdown. We're working so hard, you know, trying to figure this thing out behind the scenes and make this work because people are about to not get paid. Yep. And we're trying our hardest to stop this.
And that's the message and tomorrow. So that's the message going forward here. The message is look in the hours that we had left before a shutdown, look what they did. And what they've shown us is they don't work well with others or themselves. I mean, that's the weird part in all this. They cannot seem how to figure out how to work with anyone, let alone themselves.
Definitely. And then you have people like the Problem Solvers Caucus who are showing up on Tapper's show who are like, oh, you know, we're trying to come to an agreement. It's like, oh, I have an agreement for you. How about five of you just decide to move over and support truth and reality and say that you'll support the government agreement or even the CR at this point, right? Like even the Senate Republicans are like, please, for the love of God, give us a continuing resolution.
Yeah.
And you know, that's just, I don't understand why that is not a solvable solution to the problem solvers.
Well, because you've got too many of the Kook caucus, the Scott Perrys of the world, who want their pound of flesh. They want their pain and misery, and they want to punish poor people and working people because that's who they are, and they're not going to move. And you've got leadership, Kevin McCarthy, who sold his soul to be speaker, and you know, he's just one guy away from being ousted. So there's going to be no compromise on that side of the aisle that would bring Democrats around to be able to support something.
I think it would be super interesting if McCarthy just said, yeah, fine, screw it, vote to remove me from the chair, and made a deal with the Democrats and basically said, okay, I got, you know, 5, 6, 10 Republicans who are willing to be never rational happened. And we're just gonna make it work.
Never happened.
And then they would vote to put him back in the chair.
Never happened, because you know, he would then get the ire of the Kook caucus and all of the red hats who come along with that.
It's true. It really is true. Yeah. And he has to choose between his own ego and saving the country. And I think we know which one he's going to choose.
No, he's going to choose the power over over doing what's right. But, you know, I did find it interesting that Representative Greg Kasser of Texas, you know, asked, you know, all the people on the oversight committee, you know, raise your hand if you believe that both Hunter and Trump should be held accountable if there are any indictments. Of the indictments if they're convicted, and not one Republican raised their hand.
Half of them were out of the room, and more than half of them. That's the crazy thing, is that a whole bunch of those Republicans didn't even show up today. And that was a genius move, because that was the picture, right?
Yeah.
That was the one piece of data that we can show where it's like, even Democrats say, you know what, Donald Trump deserves a fair trial, just like Hunter Biden does. And even Republicans can't say that. It's so funny.
No, I had someone ask me, you know, because, you know, we were talking about, you know, Trump's indictments. You go, well, what about Hunter Biden? I go, if he's guilty, he goes to jail. How hard is that?
Yeah.
Same thing. Well, what about Menendez? Same thing. If he's guilty, he goes to jail. I don't know. I don't understand how hard that is. I mean, if I break the law, I'm going to jail.
Yeah, it turns out, you know, people like us, we don't get away with stuff.
No, we sure.
You know, I wasn't here with you last week, but the Lauren Boebert thing. My question with her is, what was she smoking in that vape pen? Right? Because Hunter Biden was lying on a form for saying, you know, for getting a gun because he was using drugs. Well, if Lauren Boebert is using drugs, she sure has a whole lot of guns.
Yeah, she does.
So why is that not equal?
Well, you could argue she wasn't doing it while lying on the form.
That is true. But she was still using.
Yeah, well, I got more problems with her than that. But you did jog my memory of what I wanted to talk about with you last week. And then, you know, much to my brain deadness, you weren't here. Project Syphilis went under.
Yes, it did.
And I thought of you when I saw that. And I'm like, you know, there's got to be no one happier than my good friend Sarah Burris to see Project Syphilis, Project Veritas, whatever, to see them go down.
And what's funny is, you know, when that news broke, it's like my phone just blew up with people being like, oh my God, did you see? Because it really is. It's like, wow, all of these people who tried to scare the heck out of me and follow me and stalk me and jump out at me. And like, it's finally like, okay, well, at least they're out of a job. The sad thing is that I'm going to assume that there's going to be some other organization that pops up.
It'll be worse.
Yeah, I think what's-his-name is already hooked up with Charlie Kirk. So, you know, it is. It's going to be another well-funded operation where they do sketchy stuff. But, you know, they've been so useless since they had the Acorn scandal, and that's really it. That's all they got. Everything else that they have tried to do has failed so horribly.
Yep.
And I think as a donor, you got to ask yourself, why am I giving money to this?
Just to cause trouble. Look, the right understands it. You know, Richard Mellon Scaife gave one of the Pittsburgh newspapers, you know, what was it, a couple $1 million a year just to go cause trouble. And that kept them in right-wing craziness for years. You're listening to The Rick Smith Show with Sarah Burris. Sarah's a reporter at Raw Story. If you want to check out her work, rawstory.com, the website, where you can find that. I got to get your thoughts on Tommy Tuberville. Yes, the dumbest guy in the Senate. And yes, I'm going to continue to say that because I still think he's the dumbest guy in the Senate. But he said that, and I quote, there is nobody up here more military than me, while sitting on the same platform as Senator Mark Kelly and Senator Tammy Duckworth. Thoughts? Let's go there.
You know, I think this is Tommy Tuberville has done the most incredible thing in American history, and that is bring the military together with the Democrats. He has completely destroyed the relationship between the military and Republicans. Every time Republicans allow this to continue, it's just, you know, looping in his campaign into their party, and I don't understand why they're allowing it to happen. And the only thing that I can think is maybe McConnell really has lost his mind, because if McConnell had his wits about him, he'd be like, sit down, shut up. Like, that was the old McConnell. The old McConnell ran things like an iron fist. And now it's just like he's letting Tuberville run roughshod all over everything. So, you know, it's just the weirdest thing ever. But hey, you know, again, Republicans want to shut down the government. And that means not paying a whole bunch of soldiers, not paying a lot of people who are fighting our wars and defending our country and working at the Pentagon. One of the things that they demand on the shutdown agreement list is they want to defund the FBI.
Yeah.
So it's like, okay, we're going to defund the police, and while we're waiting for it, we're going to stop paying soldiers, we're going to stop taking care of veterans. It's like, what is wrong with you people? Like, have you really lost your minds?
Yes.
And it's, yes, they have.
Yeah. Now, I do think Tammy Duckworth had a really good response to this. She tweeted out, you know, quote, No one is more military than me, says a man who has never served a day in his life in a room with several actual veterans. Is he serious? And yeah, he actually is. That's how far off the beaten path these folks are.
You got to wonder how many times that guy's been hit in the head. Because
obviously not enough.
Yeah, that's just not rational.
Obviously not enough. Lastly, I got to get to your thoughts on Biden went to Michigan, walked on the picket line, historic, first time president's ever done that. And then Trump followed the day after and had a bunch of fraudulent union members and fraudulent workers put on a skit, a little bit of reality TV for America. Any thoughts on the two?
That is the most hilarious thing I've ever seen. I mean, as somebody who used to work in unions, like watching your president walk a picket line is like the most heartening thing ever. It's just like, yes, finally we have a president who cares about workers. And that is the most perfect contrast, I think, is to Donald Trump, who couldn't even get the non-union workers to show up. They got a couple of them, but they still couldn't fill the room with the non-union workers. Most of them were just like, yeah, no, I'm out. I'm good. I'm not going to come. And so they had to pack it with a bunch of his just regular everyday supporters waving signs, pretending like they're in a union, pretending like they're working in the auto industry. And it's just like, wow, that is the biggest lie I've ever seen.
Yeah. No, I mean, it was remarkable because I was looking at the crowd and I'm going, there is no way that woman works on an assembly line. There's no way that guy is anywhere near an assembly line. And you're going through this going, none of these people work for a living.
Yep. And I mean, you could tell by the clothes they were wearing, you could tell just the way that they behaved. Like, union people are so normal. Like, they're just like us. And these people were very uppity. And you're just like, nope, nope, not human.
Yeah, I know. But for me, what the interesting part was is, you know, look, it was a fraud is what we saw. And for a guy who, you know, to be quite honest, you know, got the death penalty in New York for the Trump organization because of fraud, I don't know that you commit more fraud.
That's Donald Trump right there. It is double down on everything there's nothing else to double down on.
Double down on the fraud. I know I said last thing, but Gungate. Did he buy a gun?
No. His campaign said that he didn't. I would not be surprised if he had somebody else buy the gun for him. Or the gun shop owner gave it to him.
That's where I'm going. There's no way he bought anything. For no, Trump, the mob wannabe guy, everything's on the arm. He's not digging into his pocket.
Yeah, exactly.
There you go. Sarah, I appreciate the time. Always fun, always entertaining. Thanks so much.
Have a good day tomorrow.
You as well, our good friend Sarah Burris. Make sure you check out her work. RawStory.com is where you find that. Quick break, right back after this. Stick around. You'll listen to The Rick Smith Show.
The phone lines are open. Give Rick a call at 1-866-416-RICK. That's 1-866-416-7425.
I'm Rick Smith, and this is Labor History in Two.
Would you be willing to stand up in solidarity with your fellow workers, even if it cost you your job? Well, on this day in labor history, the workers at Mersey Docks and Harbour Company in Liverpool, England, answered that question. The year was 1995. 329 Mersey Dock workers refused to cross a picket line that was being walked against another company on the docks. The workers at Torside had been fired for protesting against erosions in job security and increasingly unpredictable scheduling. They were speaking out against the casualization of their labor. When the Mersey dock workers would not cross the Torside picket line, they too were fired. Dock workers across the world stood up in solidarity with the Mersey workers against this unjust treatment. They knew if it could happen in Liverpool, it might happen anywhere. Pickets sprung up from Norway to Japan, from Australia to Italy, and into the United States. It was a global outpouring of solidarity. The strike wore on for 850 days. 1 year into the strike, dock workers held an international day of action in support of the Liverpool workers. Finally, 2.5 years after they were fired, the dock workers agreed to a settlement. They did not get their jobs back, but they did get severance pay. A film was made about the struggle. The proceeds were used to purchase a bar in Liverpool. It is known as the Dockers Pub and has become a space for working class organizing. The International Dock Workers Council was also born from this strike. Today, the council has 90,000 members, a lasting movement of solidarity. 20 years after the strike, dock workers from across the world gathered in Liverpool to remember the struggle.
Labor History in 2, brought to you by the Illinois Labor History Society and The Rick Smith Show.
You're listening to The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk.
I got to tell you, one of my favorite moments from the hearing. Now, understand, you know, half the people didn't bother showing up because I don't think they wanted to be part of this charade. You know, they're on board. You know, hey, we got to go after Biden. We got to make it look like, you know, like he did something, because we got to make dear leader happy. But Chuck Edwards, the Republican representative from North Carolina's 11th congressional district, wow. And I gotta play Chuck trying to get his he's trying. Hey, look, he's trying, and that's I guess that's all we can ask for, is for Chuck just to try.
Kenneth Rakishev is a Kazakhstani oligarch who was a director at Kazakhstan's state-owned oil company. Importantly, Rakishev maintains ties to Karim Mazimov.
So, I mean, when you listen to that, you go, is he just, he can't say oligarch? I mean, you know, seriously, can't say oligarch? And did he not practice this speech before he went on? Or the internet thinks he was bombed. And I guess, you know, this would be an entertaining way to spend this ridiculous, nonsensical day in a hearing. You might as well be three sheets to the wind. Yeah, have a couple of cocktails, take the edge off. Because that's the only way I think I could get through it without losing my mind. Which is what, you know, some folks did. And, you know, the internet, you know, got all crazy about a couple of people who, you know, yelled and screamed. But at the end of the day, who should be yelling and screaming? You and me, us. Because they are going to shut our government down. And that means, you know, millions of people are going to be affected. Millions of people are going to be negatively affected. In fact, you had one representative, in fact, Summer Lee, a representative here from Pennsylvania, who went through, you know, each of the people on that committee's districts and said, you know, they're going to be, you know, 4,000 people from this person's district, 5,000 people from this person's district, who are not going to get paychecks because of the actions that are not being taken right now, because of the wasted time of sitting in a ridiculous impeachment inquiry. But understand, this isn't about getting Biden out. It's not. It's about angering the base. And you know what was said a minute ago by Sarah Burris is actually pretty interesting. You know, she said, you know, you watched it and, you know, they presented it like everyone was in on all the conspiracies. And that's because this wasn't for us. This wasn't for normal reasoning Americans. This wasn't for logical Americans. This wasn't for people who aren't in the Q-kook, MAGA hat, red hat wearing crowd. This was for those people. This was for the people who drank the Kool-Aid and, you know, a lot of it. This was kind of their Super Bowl, so that they could come back. And I had it happen. They could come back and say, Biden's being impeached. And I had to then remind them that, no, he's not being impeached. This is an inquiry. Even their witnesses are saying, no, this isn't an impeachment. There's no evidence for an impeachment. This is an inquiry. We're going to go digging for stuff. Now, how do you think the right would have acted had, oh, I don't know, the Democrats said, you know, we don't have anything on Trump. But we do want to dig into all of his business records and all of the shady dealings that everyone knew he was doing and he is now being held accountable for. But did it back, you know, when he took office. How do you think the right would have responded? You know they'd have lost their minds.
You're listening to The Shaw.
WAUK 540 AM Jackson. W266 DR Waukesha.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.